Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3 with me. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 25 this morning together. Those of you who are moms and you are anxiously awaiting the Mother's Day video, don't worry, we're going to come back to that at the end of the service. You're going to get to see some of your kids on there just celebrating you and who you are. It is just an incredibly special day today, and we're thank you for being a part of our service this morning. So last week, if you joined us, Matt Simpson preached a bold message. And one of the things that he framed up the entire message with was he said, no human being has ever been justified by obeying the law. And he unpacked for us the truths in Galatians about how justification, being made right with God, is completely based upon a faith relationship with God, trusting in what God has done for us to make us right with Him. No human being has ever been justified by obeying the law. And so we've been in the study of Galatians for several weeks now. And this morning, as we look at Galatians 22 through 25 in chapter 3, we're going to do a little bit of review from last week because it's one coherent, consistent thought that Paul has been unpacking for us. And we want to see what Paul's reasoning, his use of Scripture, and even his historical proofs are to demonstrate to the Galatians that he's writing to, and also to refute the legalists who had come into these Galatian churches trying to convince them that it wasn't enough just to trust in Jesus for salvation. To be saved, you had to do these things as well, these religious things, these Jewish things. And the reason it's important for us to grasp is not because we're speaking to a Jewish audience today, but it's important for us to grasp because we, as followers of Jesus, we fight this creep into legalism all the time. We tend to want to take control of our spirituality, and we want to make our spirituality more about our morality than about an intimate love relationship with Jesus. The important thing for us to grasp is that it's always been about faith. Faith begins a relationship with the Lord, faith through a relationship with the Lord. So in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, let me read that for you. It says, before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. And so the reality is that we start by faith and we end with faith. We don't start by faith and then become righteous and can keep on being righteous through our works. It's our faith in Christ and in what He's done on the cross that makes us righteous. God makes us righteous because of our faith, not because of works. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Paul will make this really clear. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has come into the world. He's taken our sins upon Himself. He's died for our sins on the cross, and He was resurrected. Jesus, faith in Jesus makes us righteous. And so Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of this reality. I'm not ashamed of this good news, this gospel. He says, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So Paul says, our walk with Christ begins with faith. It ends with faith. We don't transition to works to keep ourselves being righteous before God. We're always made right with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. It's so hard for us to grasp, and we want to drift back into this legalistic life of living a good Christian moral life, thinking that the more strenuous effort we put into that type of living, the more God is pleased with us. But God is ultimately pleased with us, according to Hebrews 11:6, by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We trust in what the Father has done by sending His Son Jesus to die for our sins. And so in Galatians chapter 3, verse 17, which Matt looked at last week, Paul says, my point is this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God and thus cancel the promise. So here's what Matt was talking about last week, and here's what is relevant for us today, is God showed up, He chose Abraham to be the beginning of the nation of Israel, and He made this promise to Abraham. And Abraham believed His promise. Abraham believed God, and because of Abraham's belief, Scripture says, God made Abraham righteous because of his belief. It was credited to him as righteous. And so when the law came, when God gave the Ten Commandments and the law to the people of Israel, that was 430 years later. It's not as if the law nullified the promise that God had given to Abraham. The reality is that promise still stood, but the law came in and the law had a function. The law had a purpose. The law's purpose was to guide, was essentially to put up guardrails for the people of Israel so they would understand how to walk with God. They would understand God's expectations, God's heart, God's value system. And so it's verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3, why was the law given? Paul asked. It says, it was added for the sake of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. And that refers to Jesus's coming. So the law was given to steward us, to usher us into knowing who God is so that we would fully recognize Him when Jesus came. And then again in chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, Paul asks another question, and he says, is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? In other words, God made this great promise to Abraham. Believe me, believe me, believe me. I'm making you these beautiful promises, Abraham. Believe me that I will make it so. Does then the law come and you just operate only according to the law instead of by faith? And this is what Paul says. Absolutely not. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Christ Jesus to those who believe. And so the question we have to continually remind ourselves of is, do we believe? Do we believe solely in the person of Jesus and His power to make us righteous, His power to forgive us, His power to cleanse us, His power to make us pleasing to His Father? Do we believe in God's perfect gospel revealed in Jesus Christ? The promise that was given to Abraham. There was this day that God called Abraham to sacrifice his one and his only son, Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham actually goes through with it. He actually brings the knife up. He's ready to sacrifice Isaac, and God says, stop. He provides a ram in a thicket, and Abraham sacrifices the ram that God provided instead. And in verse 15 of Genesis 22, this is the dialogue between the angel of the Lord and Abraham. It says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn. This is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command. So here's the richness is Abraham trusted God so much that he was willing to offer up his only son. In Hebrews 11, it says that by faith Abraham did this because he even believed that if he had gone through with it, God would have even been able to raise Isaac up from the dead. But because of Abraham's demonstrated faith, this promise is given to him that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through his offspring. Guess who the ultimate offspring of Abraham is? It's Jesus. All the nations of the earth, any person, anywhere, who believes upon the name of Jesus and trusts Jesus for salvation will be completely and fully blessed by the Father. And today we are the body of Christ, the church, the New Testament church, believers today. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so as we live in our generation in 2020, God wants to bless the nations through me and through you. His promise continues. And so this blessing, blessed means to be brought into a right relationship with God, to be forgiven, to be redeemed from the curse of sin, to be freed from adherence to codes and laws, to be invited into a forever reward. We are blessed because we walk in faith and we do not walk by works. And the other beautiful thing is God made this promise to Abraham that there would be this land that God would give the people of Israel. And God's power was such that he brought them into that land. But even for us today, that promise still remains as we have a promised land as the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he has gone to prepare a place for us. That place is heaven for anyone who acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God and trusts him with their life. We have a promised land ahead of us. Some have gone on before us into their eternal reward, and we will join them there. But now we're waiting for the consummation of the ages. We're waiting for this moment of Jesus Christ's return, when evil will be completely defeated, when death will be completely destroyed, when God, according to Scripture, makes a new heaven and a new earth, and it is all prepared for us and for our joy and our fellowship with God in eternity. It is paradise. It's reward. It's reigning with Jesus. It is eternal, joyful reunion and adventure. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Now, this is otherworldly. You might even say it's supernatural. And I know a lot of you out there don't like sci-fi and fantasy genres in your movie. Me, I love sci-fi. I am a Star Trek freak, and I love sci-fi. But if you don't like sci-fi and fantasy genre, you need to understand that what we preach and teach as the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is otherworldly. It's better than a fairy tale. It is the epic to end all others. We truly believe that by placing our faith in the person of Jesus and trusting him for salvation, by confessing our sins to him, we truly believe that Jesus Christ will return and that he will bring all of those who have trusted in him into an eternal paradise. That sounds like gibberish to a worldly person's thinking. But we believe, according to Scripture, that Jesus promised and that he will make it so. It is a beautiful epic of redemption and forgiveness, of reclaiming what he has created and redeeming us in him. And so in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. And so the question is, do you believe? Do you believe in this otherworldly gospel? Do you believe in this fantasy? Do you believe in this story, in this tale, in this narrative that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that if you believe in Him, you will not perish but have eternal life? Eternal life with Him in a very real heaven with very real eternal reward and joyful reunion and adventure. In Galatians 3:6, Paul quotes Genesis chapter 15, and he says, Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you believe God today? You see, it's your belief that makes you righteous. It's your belief in Him, which God then turns and says, you are now right with me. I want you to believe. I want you to trust. In John 1, 11 through 12, the scriptures say that Jesus came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. You see, the promise is given to all who will believe, to those who have faith in Jesus. This is otherworldly. You see, Jesus said that in this world, in John 16, 33, He says, in this world you will have suffering. Be courageous. I've conquered the world. The NIV translation says suffering. The ESV translation says tribulation. And another translation says trouble. In this world you'll have trouble, tribulation, suffering. But Jesus says, be courageous. I have conquered the world. We have an otherworldly faith, but when we focus on the world, we get discouraged and distracted and disheartened and dismayed. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus and have an otherworldly faith that He loves and He's in control and He's causing all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, we see a bigger reality. And we ask ourselves these days, what are the troubles in our world and how relevant is that? This past week has been absurdly disheartening for so many of us. Not only does COVID continue, but we're seeing new instances of racism, disaster, corruption, poverty, hunger, and scheming. If you've been on social media at all, you've probably seen a friend sharing the most recent conspiracy theories out there. And we tend to dismiss or ridicule conspiracy theories. But of course we dismiss and ridicule the conspiracy theories. What does a conspiracy theory really mean after all? It's an organized, coordinated, complex plot by a group to get their way or assert their will over others. And it's most often hidden. You see, we love to watch conspiracy theories in movies, but we don't like to deal with conspiracy theories in life. And we get a whiff of something bigger, something suspicious, and sometimes we'll pull at a thread in our reality that seems a little bit out of place. We pull it, and it reveals something that is strangely out of place, but yet connected to the first. And the more you pull, the more your comprehension of what seems true unravels. And it's like we're living in the movie Inception before you realize it. And not only have conspiracy theories been floating around, but then this past week we had another shooting, a white-on-black shooting of Ahmaud Arbery. And we watch that and it hurts our hearts and it dismays us and it shocks us. And we wonder, how do we respond and we get angry because we suspect that there's a systemic issue in place. And as followers of Jesus, we're tempted to begin to make that our cause or our issue, and we bump from cause to cause, and we suddenly act surprised or outraged at the latest outbreak of sin or disease or anger or rage. I think we've all done a lot of reading, and one of the things I read this past week was a pretty raw commentary by a black conservative writer, and it made me deeply uncomfortable about the unfolding of events in Georgia. But I think what made me even more uncomfortable was the posturing by Christians and by Christian leaders who wanted to suddenly adopt a hashtag or make a social media statement. And I'll confess, if you go and look at my Twitter feed, you'll see my Ahmaud Arbery hashtag. And we think that we'll make some difference in our world today just because we've spoken to an issue. And it's empty and it's vanity. And we wonder, how do we communicate? And so there is a group that wants people to get on board with the latest hashtag or the latest cause or the latest conspiracy. And there's another group that would seek to poke holes in whatever cause or conspiracy there may be. It just baffles me that we are surprised when there is evil in the world as if it's the first time it's ever happened. We think we can end it by our strenuous effort and by our posturing, but what do our posts or statements of solidarity really mean or do? See, for the believer in Jesus, the Vacation Bible School answer is still true. The answer is Jesus. Only Jesus's return can completely set things right and demolish evil and vanquish death. You see, for all of us, when we focus upon the world, we get disheartened. But when we focus upon Jesus, we become encouraged. We don't want to be calloused. We want to have sensitive hearts. I appreciate what Oliver Wendell Holmes once said. Some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And he might be referring to a group of Christians that it's always, oh, bless their hearts. Oh, praise God. Oh, God is so good. And they don't dive deep into the suffering and the agony and the poverty and the hunger and the injustice and the racism and all the isms of humanity. We're called to invest. We're called to minister. We're called to serve. But folks, all this distraction and disease and depression and violence reveals something profound. It reveals that the greatest conspiracy theory of all is alive and well on planet Earth. It is a grand attempt by Satan to keep your eyes on the world and to keep your eyes off of Jesus. You see, when we focus on the world, we will experience fear and anger and lust, greed, racism, divisiveness, hate. And yet when we focus upon Jesus, we discover beauty and hope and faith and confidence and peace and life. This is why Paul was so outraged when he wrote this letter to the Galatians. Because these legalists had come into the churches that Paul had so clearly preached, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Faith in Jesus saves, attention to Jesus, loyalty to Jesus, making decisions in light of your faith in Christ. Only Jesus matters. And these legalists had come in and had convinced the Christians in Galatia that they needed to practice obedience to the law in order to earn God's pleasure. And it was a false gospel. Essentially, what they were doing was they were taking their eyes off of Jesus and what Jesus has done, and focusing people's eyes on what they're supposed to do. And when we focus on what we're supposed to do, it's just a slippery slope before we feel like we're in charge of our own spiritual growth, and Jesus simply becomes a means to heaven. Galatians 3:23 through 25, it says, "Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus." Paul speaking to the Galatians as if they're kids, as if someone had created a trust fund for them when they were young. He said, at a certain day, you'll receive this trust fund. You'll receive this inheritance. But until that day, you're not going to have access to the trust fund. And so in the meantime, they lived under supervision of guardians. And Paul says, this is the law. But there comes a day, there comes a moment when this trust fund matures, when you reach a certain age, when the event happens and suddenly you are fully in charge of the blessing that's been set apart for you. And that's what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The law was given to keep us between the guardrails, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But when Jesus came, any person who trusts in Him by faith can enter into a love relationship with God. We are now, by faith, sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted into His family by faith. We are family of royalty. Remember who you are. You are not worldly. You are otherworldly. You are bound for glory. You're not under some guardian. You have free access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. And so there are those who would discourage you and distract you and keep you down and keep you in your place. They want to convince you. Our world, our media, our political leaders would want to convince you that you don't matter, that you don't have a voice. But the reality is that if you have given your life to Jesus, you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you have all of the authority of Jesus behind you. Who are you? You are a believer in Jesus Christ. You are a son or daughter of the King. You have nothing to fear. You have everything to gain. The promise is for you. You have the hope of the world in your heart. And His name is Jesus. And so in this day and age where we are again fighting these uncomfortable realities of disease and racism and greed and corruption and confusion, don't forget that there is an enemy that would seek to keep your eyes on this world, that would seek to let you adopt a cause or an injustice and make that part of your identity. But that is not who you are. Your identity is wrapped up in King Jesus. And we pursue justice, and we pursue racial equality, and we pursue generosity and hope and peace through what He's done and because of what He's done. And so we should live and speak and rejoice and encourage. We should lift up our souls because Jesus is bigger and He loves us. You know, I cannot wait for all of you to join us over the next 8 weeks watching The Chosen together. I cannot think of a more significant time in our generation's life, coming out of and hopefully moving towards re-entry back into some type of routine, gathering together again. I can't think of a more appropriate time to watch the life of Jesus, to be re-anchored and to be renewed in who He is and what He's done for every one of us. So let me pray for us, and as I pray, we'll move back into a time of giving and a time of worship, and then we'll watch the Mother's Day video at the end of the service today. Let's pray together. Father, we want to ask that You would please transform our minds and our hearts. Lord, these realities that we are studying in Galatians have such immense practicality for how we live our life, and forgive us for how we consistently allow the next greatest sin or event or tragedy or upset to take our eyes off of You and to suspect for a moment that You're not in control. God, You are in complete control. And You are calling people to faith. You're calling people to righteousness. You're calling people to trust You. God, may we be Your voice in our generation, a voice of peace, a voice of righteousness, a voice of hope, a voice of equality, a voice of love. God, help us to trust You. We love You, Lord, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.